to UNHC for the invitation and to share with you the experience coming from South America. Next slide, please. So South America has La Plata Basin, which is one of the most important basins in the region, and it has the most important international river, which is the Paraná River. In this international river, two countries, Paraguay and Brazil, decided to sign a treaty to construct a binational dam and created a whole management institution, also called the binational entity Itaipu. Next, please. And here are some pictures, because in the last 4 years, the South American region experienced one of the worst hydrological crises ever recorded in the history of the region. This is, you can see one of the images is the Iguazu Falls under normal conditions with water, but the next picture is the Iguazu Falls, the main wonder nature in the region, completely left without water. And of course, this was caused by many causes, lack of rain, climate change impacts, but also the activities of upper dams. Next slide, please. Here you see like a map of all the dams that are upstream of the river where Itaipu is located. And as you can see, Itaipu is at the very last of this chain of dams. Next slide, please. And in this chart, what you can see is how during these years of the worst drought experience in the region, how the flow of water was decreasing year per year. And this you can also see how that it directly correlates to the generation of energy that was produced during those years. But at the same time, go back, this is where important innovation and efficiency is important, because the reduced flow of water triggers necessarily a more efficient use of water. So what we could also see here is that the index of productivity actually increased. This is how much for every drop of water that was so scarcely at the moment, how much energy was produced. So that activity actually increased during these years. Next slide, please. And of course, as I mentioned, the International River Paraná, there are many countries there, many riparians, and they have different uses of the river. So the three riparian countries use the river for hydropower production, but of course Paraguay, being a landlocked country, also used the river crucially for navigation purposes. Argentina also even for water consumption. Next slide, please. So during this time of drought, of course what happened was all riparian countries had a tension of satisfying their own demands, their own uses of the river. Itaipu was requested to release water from the reservoir. But as you can imagine, if your main activity is to produce energy, you can imagine a little bit of reluctance to actually, when there's no water, your raw material is not there, that you will be really concerned of having what you have to produce that energy. The governing structure of Itaipu is, first you have a board of directors, but there is a governing council overseeing the activities of the boards of directors. And typically, only regional treaties and agreements are taken into consideration. But in this case, I was a member of the governing council at the time, and we proposed to implement international law at that time. Next slide, please. And here, because it was an international river, of course, you need to apply the principle of reasonable and equitable utilization of the river. And what that means is that you have to take into account the rights of other countries, and you have to reach a balance so that all riparian countries can actually have those multiple uses. There's also the principle of no significant harm, and it's to take measures and prevent and mitigate any significant harm that can happen. How do you do all of this? There are specific procedural obligations in international law. For example, the exchange of data, notification, consultation. So this is, next slide, please. This is what it was proposed back then So we propose to create an ad hoc intergovernmental commission where all stakeholders, not only riparian countries, but other associations, the ship owners industry, every stakeholder on the river actually presented a technical report expressing exactly how much water they needed to satisfy their own demands. After this exchange of data and information, it was sent back to the Itaipu technical directors, and what the result was that it was possible to release water enough not to compromise the energy production, but at the same time release sufficient water to actually make all the other riparian countries satisfy their needs. And this was not constantly because the drought was so long, so it was only at particular times, in particular dates, and because of that, this was named the Special Operation Water Windows. And the drought was so long during some more years that now this action became a precedent, so it was applied again during other periods. Next slide, please. So just to conclude, the continued work of the actions of WEF and Nexus and the SDGs are very important. But also, operations like the water windows are showing successful examples of transboundary cooperation and the practical relevance of international law. And just to put an emphasis here, these guidelines, these principles, are contained in the UN Water Conventions. The benefits of hydropower, I think all of the panelists have really highlighted. We can talk more in the discussion period, but also the environmental support given to this as being a very low, stable source of energy is, of course, very important in alignment to the Paris Agreement. And all of this is very important to satisfy what we all want, sustainable development. And the meaning of that is actually to satisfy our present needs without compromising those of future generations. So this is what it's all about, and thank you very much for your attention.